Thank you, Laura. You know, it is my privilege to be here. I have heard about this church for a while. I just want to let you know, because several people, and as you know, your pastor, Steve Combs, he used to work at the bookstore. And when he was at the bookstore, he would tell me, Shaker, you need to one day come and speak here at Boxdale. And I said, Steve, you know how it is. You're a pastor. And I've been a pastor at the First Baptist Church in Murfreesboro for the last 15 years. I just retired in February. Okay, I'm not, you know, too far from that. And one of the things our church really would love to have me stay on, and they always said, Pastor, why do you want to retire? And one of the biggest reasons I gave them, because, you know, as I was talking about retirement, there was a gentleman who came up to me and said, Pastor Shaker, do you know that there's nowhere in the Bible that a pastor retires? And I said, you know what? You put me on the spot. You're right. But at the same time, I need to let you know a secret. That is, my wife needs me and my children need me. I've not seen them enough. Normally, I get to see them for about a week, you know, in a whole year. And I have two other children besides Hannah here. And Hannah lives with us, and she graduated from high school, and she's with us. One son lives in Knoxville, and my daughter lives in Ohio. So we are actually taking our time to spend time with them, you know. And when Steve asked me to do this, I said, Steve, I would love to help them out. Whenever they need me, I am ready to do it. And then I get an email from Paul Gibson. You've had him here. He spoke here several times, I hear. And he said, Shaker, you need to go to Boxdale. So I am honored to be here with you. You know, it's amazing to see here. And when Laura said that we are a praying church, my mind was thinking, you know what? In your bulletin, right here, in the front, you should put it, we are a praying church. Because not too many people, too many churches can say something like that, that honors God. We are a praying church. God honors our prayers. Even Jesus, he spent time in prayer with his Father. So it is so important. And most of us know, and we celebrate today, Palm Sunday. And as I was preparing for Palm Sunday, you know, most of us know the story. We have read it since we were little. You know, and as I was thinking about it again, you know, when I was growing up in India, one of the things we did was on Palm Sunday, the church actually met outside the church, and then we went about 5 blocks around with our palms in our hands and praising God. Amen. You know, it always reminds me of that when I think of Palm Sunday. That's what comes to my mind, because we are gloriously waiting for Jesus, our King. What better way to tell the world we are waiting for the King? And as I was preparing, you know, I read something which was interesting. There was a little boy who was about 5 years old. On Palm Sunday, he got sick. So his parents said, "Johnny, you're going to stay home. You're not feeling well." And so they found a babysitter for Johnny and they went to church. And then when they came back, Johnny was asking his dad, "Dad, how was church? And what are you guys carrying all these palm branches with you back home?" And Dad said, "You know, today is Palm Sunday and Jesus came and we were waving those palms on there." And the little boy was pretty sad. And he said, "Would you know, of all the Sundays, today is the day Jesus had come and I missed him." As I was thinking about that, you know, many of us today should be excited to have Jesus come every Sunday. Every Sunday. You know, I want to read from John chapter 12. And I'm not going to read the whole passage because it's a long passage. Chapter 12, 1 through 16. I want you guys to go home. I used to, in my church, I gave homework. All right? So I want you guys to read that and realize what it is. You know, this is the only scripture. This is one of the few scriptures of all the Gospels. Every one of them mentions Palm Sunday. You know, you can look it up in Matthew chapter 21, 1 through 11. Or you can look it up in Mark chapter 11, 1 through 11. And then you can look it up in Luke chapter 19, 28 through 44. And in John chapter 12, 1 through 16. I want to read one specific verse, and then we're going to concentrate on the rest of the verses as we go through. I'm going to read from John chapter 12 and verse 16. Let me read this to you, okay? So that we see what he is talking about. Verse 16, it says, "At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and these things had been done to him." It's fascinating for me to read John. And John is writing this and saying the disciples did not understand. Who is a disciple? A disciple is one who follows a teacher and also wants to live just like his teacher. And as I heard, there are several of you who are teachers here in the past. You know, for me, teachers meant a lot because they taught me for who I am today. If it wasn't for their dedication, I would not be. And I could honestly say this because I have followed what they taught me and how they lived, because they were an example. And here, John is saying the disciples did not understand. Who was John? Who was writing this? He was a disciple. And he is saying, "I didn't understand. It is, I mean, as I was thinking about it, isn't it interesting that John, who was one of Jesus's favorite disciple, and he didn't catch on to it, that there was Palm Sunday coming through. You know, it kind of helps you to think. John, at least, is willing to put it in the Word of God that I did not understand. I lived with Jesus. I ate with Jesus. I walked with Jesus. I did miracles because of Jesus. But I did not understand. I thought to myself, he is at least willing to admit that he needed to be more diligent in the future. As you read that thing, he says, the disciples did not understand. Why did he say that? You know, Palm Sunday is an amazing Sunday if only we were able to understand what actually was happening. Let me read to you from John chapter 12, the beginning of the first few verses. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in whose honor? Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with fragrance of the perfume. Pastor, you're talking about something different from Palm Sunday. Today you should be talking about the Palm Sunday. But you know what? Palm Sunday was important. But here is, as you read through it, there is a banquet. And people are all together having a good time because Lazarus was reborn, who had died. It was excitement there. And that's what we need to see. When we read the Bible, sometimes we just go right through it without forgetting that there is so much more in it, the way it is put together. This is, I hope you can come along with me and see what he's talking about. Here is a gathering of people together to honor Jesus Christ. But you know what? This was nothing new. Because Daniel had prophesied what he was going to do on Palm Sunday. And that's what I'm going back to and saying, John is saying, I didn't understand that it was written a long time ago. I'm a Jewish boy, and at 14, I had come through all these things before, and I did not realize they were talking about Jesus in that Daniel. Let me turn our focus to Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 25. Daniel chapter 9. Verses 20 through 25. This is what it reads. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight from the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding as soon as you began to pray, a warrant went out, which I have come to tell you. For you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand this vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression. 77 decreed days. To put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes. Daniel said that the ruler, the anointed one, is coming. And that was what was happening on Palm Sunday. You know, it is fascinating to read sometimes how we just go through that. And there was a British gentleman from Scotland Yard. He decided to get into Daniel chapter 9 and see where does this prophecy fit into Palm Sunday. It's fascinating. Let me read that to you. There was a gifted and intelligent man from Scotland Yard in the last generation by the name of Robert Anderson. He decided to make a study of this and whether the prophecy was actually accurate. And so, using all the historical information he could, he determined that the decree of Artaxerxes to rebuild the city came on the 14th of March, 445 BC. And Jesus entered Jerusalem on the 6th of April, 32 AD. And Sir Robert Anderson said, from the 14th of March in 445 BC, by Jewish counting, to the 6th of April, 3280 is exactly 173,180 days, or 483 years. Jesus entered the city on that exact day. Isn't it amazing that everything was precisely put together for us to understand in the Word of God? It was put together. Palm Sunday was coming on a specific day. But you know what? I'm guilty of it. I read through the Word, but do I take the time to figure it out what Jesus is saying? And no wonder John is saying, I did not understand. It was right there before me. Daniel the prophet had told us that it was going to happen on Palm Sunday, that Jesus was going to be the anointed one, was coming. You know, as I read those things, I said to myself, if I'm honest, I need to say the same thing. You know why? Because we are not anticipating the coming of Jesus Christ. John was told by his forefathers as he was growing up, there is going to be a Palm Sunday and the King of Kings is going to come through. It's amazing for me as I read through that and I said that, I was amazed to see that. You know, it has to be specific. It has to be the day Jesus said he is coming. You know why? Because if you remember the story of the first wedding in Cana, his mom came up to him and says, son, They are running out of wine. Would you please do something about it? You know what was his answer? If you think about it, you will see, you will know what it was. His answer was interesting. It is found in John chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not come." His time has not come, so he cannot perform something till the time comes. So interestingly, the time had not come at that time for God to be glorified, but sometimes we are like that. We are anticipating something, and then we want to get it done yesterday. But that's not the way it works. When God says when it's going to happen, it's going to happen only that day. We need to learn how to be patient and waiting for Him to make this possible. And I tell you, I am impatient a lot of times. I like to do things, and I want it done yesterday. But whereas God had not planned for me to do it till today. And normally, I find out it was good for me to await it because things have come together so well. Because God planned it, not Shaker. But that's the way we are, unfortunately. And here we see the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. Again, if you had an opportunity, I want you to go back to read the whole chapter 9 because it slowly comes back together how all this was set long time ago. You know, when these people were coming together, they are here to celebrate Lazarus' rebirth. And they're so excited. And they say, "Here is the man who can do miracles." Because they did not only this time, before they have done it one more time. You know what? In John chapter 6, verses 14 through 15, it says, "After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, 'Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world.' Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself." You know what? That time had not come. The story in chapter 6 of John is when he provided meal for 5,000 people on the hill. You know what? People saw Jesus healing. People saw 5,000 and more people getting fed. They said, "Here's the one we want him to be the king of us. So let's make him king." But unfortunately, that was not the time. That was not the time. And guess what? During that miracle, who was there? John was. He got excited because the rest of the people said, "We want to make him the king." And the rest of the disciples, "Yeah, we should." But the time had not come for that to happen. Till God's timing comes together, it cannot be done. And we need to understand that. Many a times, we want to go ahead. And then you know, and I know, we run into trouble. If we do the things beforehand when we want to do, because we lack the faith. But what does Jeremiah 29:11 say? "I have plans for you." I have plans for you. For what? For your good. So wait on my plan. And Proverbs it talks about it again. He says, man decides, but who executes? God executes. You know what? We don't have that patience to wait upon God. We want everything to be done yesterday, just like me. But God says, time's not come. And I read the word of God, and I see Jesus saying to his mom, Mom, the time is not right. Son of God, who is God himself, says, I need to wait till my Father lets me do things. Who are we? Mere humans. But we think we control things. We don't. Let me tell you that secret. We do not control anything. I do not have tomorrow planned, whereas God has. That's why in James we read, he says, James says, when you plan everything, it's okay. But if God wills, we need to understand that if God wills. You know, as I read through this for Palm Sunday, I go back again. It has already been spelled out in the Word of God from the beginning. The day you know that it was written 500 years ago, which town Jesus was going to be born. And who was going to be the king at that time? See, do you think he knows more than I do? Of course he does. Of course, he knows exactly when and how it should be happening. And when it happens according to his time, it's a fun time. But whereas we proceed to do things when we want it, guess what? 90% of the time, there's problems. But it's not a one-time deal. We know that. But we keep doing it again and again and again instead of depending upon him. And as I read this chapter, as I see, Jesus is waiting on that day. Whereas the people who were there and around Jerusalem, they were coming to do what? To meet at the hill. Because that was mandated. Once a year for Passover, everybody comes together to Jerusalem. And that is the day after 70 times 7 years, the opportune time God has chosen for him to come through as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not any sooner. And as I read that thing, I see how God plans it. One more thing about Palm Sunday. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. What it says? It says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Guess what? The prophecy is so specific. What Jesus is going to ride on. A donkey, a colt of a donkey. Isn't that what happened on Palm Sunday? That's exactly what happened. As you read in John chapter 12, where we are. And it says, the next day the great crowd had come for the festival heard in Jerusalem on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it as it is written. I didn't make this up. It's already there. Jesus specifically says it'll be on a colt of a donkey. And I wonder, when I was reading that, I was wondering, you know what? How did the gentleman who had the donkey knew that Jesus would need the donkey? He did. And Jesus came on a donkey. And I'm one of those guys who's always curious about something. I'm like a little kid when it comes to that, you know? And I said, why a donkey? When a king comes in those days, he comes on a horse. You guys have seen it in a movie. When a king comes, he is royal. He's mighty. He's coming on a horse. But you know what? It says he came on a donkey. One other place you see. The difference is coming on a horse is victorious. Coming on a donkey is peaceful. Do you see the difference? One, you killed a lot of people and you're coming on a horse. Whereas here, he is coming peacefully because that's what he wants to bring peace to you and to me. He comes, the King of Kings. And then we read, he is the Prince of what? Peace. He is coming on a donkey because he is a Prince of Peace. You see, these things sound like so much coincidence, is it? No, it was meant to be that way. It was meant to be that way. That's what is so amazing to me. Whenever I open the Word of God, I see how precise my God is. He knows exactly what I need and what I need to do. I hope you guys are not thinking I'm taking too long, okay? I want to bring it together, how this Palm Sunday was so essential in so many ways. Yes, it's an amazing day, with a joyful day. People were singing Hosanna and all those great and wonderful things. But you know what Jesus did as he was coming down? You find that in Luke chapter 19, 41 and 42. Let me turn that to you. Luke chapter 19. Everybody is having a fun time. Verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he jumped over the cliff. No, he wept. He cried. How many times have I heard people talk about Palm Sunday and Jesus crying? That's what was happening. As Jesus is sitting, the King of Kings, the King of Peace, is coming to Jerusalem and he's crying. The next verse, it tells you why. And said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace? They didn't know what they were talking about. They were only taking and going along with Jesus because they want to crown him King of Kings at that day. But that was not meant to be. Mm-hmm. He is coming as a Prince of Peace. And he was crying. Now let's go back to John, the apostle, who admitted, I did not understand. I have no understanding. All this has been there before me in the Word of God, and I missed it. And I missed it. What am I talking about when I do all these things with you? I'm trying to bring it to the close of what it means for us today. You know, if you read the Word of God, it is given time and space, and when Jesus is coming back a second time. We can look back on the Old Testament at what we read in the gospel and say, those people should have known. But guess what? We know it, that Jesus is coming back again. Praise the Lord. How many of us are really looking forward to that day? Are we thinking and are we getting ready that I am going to see my King of Kings come through the glory? When the trumpet blows, he is going to come and the angels are going to sing and I'm going to see heaven open. And he's going to say, Shaker, come on in. It's time for the banquet. Are we looking forward to it? We could complain about John, complain about Luke, can complain about Mark and Matthew and all those guys putting together, and they missed it. You know what? We are the same today in the world we live in. There is calamities going on. I don't have to tell you. You watch the news in Ukraine. You watch the stuff which is going on in Houston. You watch the stuff going on in Africa. Guess what? They were all predicted in the Word of God. In the last days, there will be earthquakes. There will be wars and rumors of war. What does that mean? It means I am coming soon. I am coming soon. Are we ready? When was the last time you thought about the coming of Jesus Christ? Are we like John and say, we disciples missed the boat? This Palm Sunday, as the joy is in us, let us praise God and look forward to His coming. I am. My reasons are personal and selfish, to be honest with you. Because I want to see my mom and dad. I want to see my friends who I lost during the pandemic. I want to go back to them. I want to see them. But God says, Shaker, they're already safe with me. Mm-hmm. And they're looking forward for you to come. I hope you don't miss the boat. We are ready, anticipating the second coming of Jesus Christ. I tell you, we did a Bible study on Revelation. It was a mistake by one of the congregants He came to me and said, Pastor Shaker, I do not understand. Would you teach me? I said to him, he says, you know what? You don't know what you're asking me. Because if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right way. And it's going to take you a long time. You know how long it took? It took us 2.5 years. Because it needs to be done that way. Because every specific thing which is going to happen is there. And at the same time, it says, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, are not going to make it. The ones who are serious and are studying the Word of God and spending time in prayer with Him, and ones looking forward. I hope you got your invitation. And God has given each one of us extra invitations to give it to our neighbor, our friend, our relative who does not know Jesus Christ. Tell him, I've got a ticket for you for the banquet with Jesus Christ. Yes, it's our responsibility to share who Jesus is.